Waken the watchman. Isaiah chapter 5. Table. Eat and drink. Arise, you princes, anoint the shield. Thus has the Lord said to me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. Now turn to Ezekiel 33. Starting with verse 1. Ezekiel 33, starting with verse 1. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land, take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. You will speak a word to warn the wicked. If he doesn't obey, it's his own fault. But if you don't speak the word, his blood's required at our hand. Now, the devil has a lot of ways of attacking God's people. He has a lot of different attacks that he brings against us as the people of God. But God has an answer for every attack of the devil. No matter what the attack is, God has an answer for it. If you look over in Isaiah chapter 59, starting with verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from his time and evermore. The first weapon we have against the attack of the devil is the word of the Lord, the word of God. When we use that weapon of the word against the attacks of the enemy, what's the Bible say? The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, where it's describing the armor that's given to the saints of God, it is the only offensive weapon we have. All the other weapons, all the other armament that we have is defensive armament, but when we get to the word, it's a sword that's the only offensive weapon we have. And the word goes forth from our mouth. If we look in the book of Revelation, what do we see Jesus doing? Speaking the word, and it comes out of his mouth like a flaming sword. What's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 say? The word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to cut, it's able to destroy the works of the enemy. And so the first weapon that we've been given to come against the attacks of the enemy is the Word of God. Now look over in Isaiah 60, the next chapter, starting with verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The second weapon that we have against the attack of the enemy is the glory of God. You know, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, the Bible says that they were led during the day by a cloud of the glory of God. At night, by a pillar of fire of the glory of God. And when God came to speak to Moses, the people could see a covering of the glory of God coming down upon the mountain, and it looked like thunder and lightning and like a huge thunderstorm covering the mountain. And when the enemy sees the glory of God upon God's people, what he sees is a thunderstorm that he can't penetrate. Remember when Satan came to God and was talking to him about Job. He said, you've set a hedge around about him I cannot penetrate. I can't get through that hedge of protection. What was that hedge of protection? It was the glory of God that was set around Job. It was a fiery hedge, a hedge of protection set around Job that the devil could not get through. And that's what the glory of God does for God's people when we stand in the glory. And so he sets that hedge round about us. And we become the light in the darkness. Jesus said, you are a light set on a hill, a city set on a hill. And, you know, we're a light in the darkness. And we're to be that kind of light. The third weapon we see is in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, the thief cometh not, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. What do we have? We have Jesus. We have him as our, the firstborn among many, the older brother, the one who goes ahead. He carries us when we're too weak to go on. He's the eldest among many. He's described in many ways throughout the Bible. And yet he's still to this day, what's he doing? Making constant intercession for us. Why? He's standing in the presence of God saying, protect, protect, keep safe, answer prayer, do what they need done. And he becomes a mighty weapon in the battle against the enemy when the enemy comes against us. And of course, then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you, who is in us, the Holy Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he becomes your protector. He becomes your comforter. He becomes your guide. He becomes your teacher. He becomes what we need at the time we need something. He becomes our all in all because he is within us. He is greater than anything this world can throw at us. We have overcome the world. We have overwhelmed the world. We have destroyed the world's power because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What's Jesus say in John chapter 14? If we speak anything in His, ask anything in His name, He'll do it. We have the weapon of the name of Jesus. As we ask in His name, believing, not doubting, but believing that what we ask we will have, He'll do it. Another weapon. Well, you say, what does this have to do with the watchman set on the tower? Because as you have a watchman, when the enemy comes, what's he try to do? Well, he tries to take out the watchman first. And the church is set in the earth to be the watchman. We're the ones that are to be calling out the alarm. We're the ones that are to be speaking the name of Jesus to the rest of the world. We're the ones that are to be telling the rest of the world what is about to happen. And that's what the watchman does. You know, if you are in a battle and you're coming up on the enemy encampment, what you want to try to do is take out the watchman first. Because if you can take out the watchman, you can surprise the enemy. And so what the enemy's trying to do is take out the watchman. He wants to take out the watchman. He wants to keep us so wrapped up in religion, so wrapped up in busyness, so wrapped up in programs, so wrapped up in all the other things that we forget our posts. We forget what it is we're supposed to be doing. And it's come against our land in so many ways. You know, I was reading an article not too long ago about how many people are coming from Africa to the United States as missionaries. And of course, most of us here know one, and that's Magnus, has come from Africa to the United States as a missionary. But there are so many people coming out of Africa to the United States as missionaries. Well, even in my lifetime, you know, we sent missionaries from the United States to Africa. Well, now the roles are being reversed and they're coming in here. Why? Because our land has been attacked by the enemy. And there are so many things that have come against our land. There are so many attacks come against the United States. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Verse 12. Jesus says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You know, it seems commonplace for Christians today to try to rationalize why sin isn't sin. Try to rationalize why they should be able to do the things that the world does. Try to rationalize why they should be able to get away with the things that they want to do that for centuries we've known to be sin. And yet it's common today for Christians, for believers, to be doing those very things and rationalizing that they should be able to do that. Well, why is that? Well, lawlessness is abounding. And people in the church are beginning to try to follow the ways of the world more than the ways of the Lord in a lot of cases. Well, why is that? We were told it would happen. If you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we were told this was going to happen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's going to be a great falling away. Why? Well, we see it in the church happening. The percentages of people who even attend church in our nation have dropped dramatically in the last 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years. It keeps going down, 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 until now you have whole families that, you know, from the parents on down have never been raised in church. And yet, in the 1950s, that was almost unheard of, just, you know, 50-some-odd years ago. It was almost unheard of for a family that didn't attend church someplace in the United States. Well, what happened in the last 50 years? Well, the falling away has begun. And what's happening is the dark is getting darker, and the light's getting brighter. Because the darker it gets, the brighter the light looks. Okay? And the watchmen have to keep watching. And we see this in our nation today. I mean, we see, you know, back in 62, we saw the removal of prayer and Bible reading in the schools. I had a meeting today at Venango campus. And as I started the meeting, I said, well, we need to pray to start the meeting. And they said, oh, we have to close the door if we're going to pray, because we're not allowed to pray publicly. It's state property. See, lawlessness is abounding. Drug and alcohol explosion in this nation. If you look at the newspaper, you know, I look at the newspaper every day, and every day there's a list of DUI arrests. The increase in violence, the profanity, the blasphemy, the cursing, gambling. You know, I mean, it used to be illegal to gamble. Now the state runs it. Terrorism. There's a spirit of murder. And it's done in what? The name of religion. And even people are committing acts of terrorism in the name of Christianity. I don't agree. I fully, 100% disagree with abortion. But the way to stop it is not terrorism of abortion clinics. It is not terrorism of the abortion clinics or the doctors or the nurses. What are they? They're people that don't know the truth. They don't know the law of love. They don't understand. They're in the dark. They're stumbling in the dark because they don't know the light. And what they need to know is Jesus. Not be blown up or shot or murdered or have their clinics burned down. That's not love. What about the sexual perversion that takes place in this nation? Pornography is rampant. And it's as bad in the church as it is out of the church. You know, there's a huge battle going on for same-sex marriage. How long is it going to be before multiple partner marriages are going to be on the burner? You know, and then how long will it be before you can marry your sister or your, you know? I mean, come on. It's only a matter of time, because that's what perversion does. That's what the enemy does. Immorality is rampant in this nation. Well, what? You don't have to read more than the first page of any newspaper to see Satan at work. And the watchmen, what are the watchmen doing? Are they blowing the trumpet? Or are they comfortable with their religious practices and hoping the people see us through our stained glass windows? That's the question that I keep asking myself. Because I ask myself that question all the time. Do people see Jesus in me when I'm out in the community? What do people see in me? And every believer should be asking themselves that question. Are we comfortable with our Christianity? Because if we are, we're wrong. We should never be comfortable with the people we've won until we die winning somebody. You know, I heard Rick Warren speak this summer, and he was talking about the death of his father, and he was at his father's bedside as his father was dying, and just shortly before his father died, the father tried to crawl out of the bed. And Rick said, "Dad, what are you doing? You're too weak to get up. Why are you trying to get up?" And he said, I got to get up. I got to get out." And he said, "You can't get up, Dad. You can't get up. You're too weak." And he said, "I have to get up." "Why do you have to get up?" "I've got to win one more for Jesus. I've got to win one more." And he said, "The last words my father ever said to me is, 'Win one more for Jesus.'" And that should be the goal of every believer every day, is win one more for Jesus. Last night I posted an excerpt from a book written by a man by the name of Bevington on the website. Mr. Bevington was an evangelist back in the late 1800s that traveled Kentucky, Cincinnati, Ohio, that part of the nation. And the name of the book, I have the book, but it's also online, and the name of the book I have is Many Mighty Miracles. And the excerpt that I posted online was, they were having a prayer meeting, and the Lord said, The Lord just laid on his heart that they were going to win one person to Jesus before midnight. And he said that it was a cottage prayer meeting. It was a lady's house. Bevington was a single man, and this was a widow. And he said, let's get in a circle here and let's begin to pray for a soul. And he said, they began to pray, and he said, I looked around the circle and everybody in the room was saved. And a man leaned over to me and he said, well, where's your man? And he said, I don't know, but God's going to send him. Well, most of the people in the room, like most believers, got tired and went home. And he said, I was embarrassed because I'm in this woman's home. It's just her and I. And she's single and I'm single and I shouldn't have been here in her home. But he said I couldn't talk. He said, God had me mute. He said, all I could do was pray. And he said, it came 11:30. I said, Lord, there's only another half hour and I still need that man. He said, at 25 minutes to 12, the door rattled and he said, a drunk fell in on the floor. He was so drunk he passed out as he fell through the front door, and God said, there's your man. And he said, the woman screamed, get him out of here. Get that filth off my carpet. And he said, sister, get to praying. We only have 25 minutes to get this man saved. And he said, by the time it was 18 minutes to 12, the man was sober. And said he'd got religion, and I told him he hadn't, that he best get to praying. And he said at 3 minutes to 12, the glory of God came in the room and the man got saved and accepted Christ. Now, how many people are willing to keep praying for one more soul like that? See, that's what the watchman does. That's what the watchman does. He sets a goal. I'm going to win. I'm going to win one more. I don't care what the devil does. He can send me somebody that's staggering drunk, and I'm going to win them. He can send me somebody that can't see, and I'll lay hands on them, and God will open his eyes. I listened to William Branham preach a sermon last night. William Branham, another evangelist, died in 1965, but a lot of his sermons are online in audio. I listened to him preach a sermon. He said a man from India that was a Muslim was in the United States. William Branham said to him, why don't you become a Christian? He said, why don't you become a Muslim? He said, well, we serve a risen Christ. He said, how do you know? Well, we have an empty tomb. He said, we have a lot of empty tombs in India. He said, well, some people said they saw him rise from the dead. He said, do you know any of them? He said, in India, the devil does all kinds of strange things. People can lay on beds of nails. People, can levitate. People can walk across beds of hot coals and not be burned. People can stick swords through their body and walk away. Like Janus and Jambres, they can cast down their rods and they turn into snakes. He said, how do you know your Jesus is any better than that? He said, see that blind man over there? God told me he's going to heal him because Jesus is alive. Walked over to the blind man, laid hands on him. The man started screaming, I can see, I can see, I can see. He said, that's how you prove Jesus is alive. See, folks, We've got to be the watchman. We've got to be the watchman. The watchman sat on the wall. We've got to start being the watchman. It's time to sound the alarm. Numbers chapter 10, verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who opposes you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. You will sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you'll be remembered before the Lord your God, and you'll be saved from your enemies. If you look at Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. The day of the Lord is coming. It is at hand. I can't tell you when Jesus is coming back. I just know He is. People say, well, I've been hearing that ever since I was a little kid. My grandma heard that. My grandma heard that. Jesus, what if Jesus came back tonight? I heard that preached when I was this high. What if Jesus were to come back tonight? He might come back tonight. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God said, I'm going to send you a Savior. And He began to prophesy it. And we saw it all through the Old Testament, through hundreds of years, that Savior was prophesied. That Savior was prophesied. There were 400 years between Malachi and Matthew alone. There were 400 years. And yet there were people in Israel that never stopped believing that that Messiah was coming. Why should we, after only 2,000 years, think, well, it's not going to happen? This is just a short period of time compared to the prophecy that God gave Adam and Eve back in Genesis. Jesus is coming back. We need to be sounding the alarm. And if we look at the times and the seasons that are laid out in the New Testament, it's beginning to look a lot like Jesus is coming back. I don't know how much worse He's going to let it get. We need to wake up and see America burning. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men, now listen to this, see if you recognize this happening in the United States and across the world for that matter. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. We probably all know somebody that fits in there. Perilous times are here. I don't care what country you're in. Perilous times are here because this is going on today. It's going on. It's time for the watchman to begin blowing the trumpet. Joel 3:9 says, wake up the mighty men. Wake up the... Who are the mighty men? It's the church, folks. It's the church. It's the ones that are filled with the Holy Ghost, the world overcomers. The one that's within us that's greater than he that's in the world. We are the mighty men. We're the ones that need to wake up. It's the church that needs to wake up. It's the church that needs to get up on our feet and start doing something. We need to start using the weapons of our warfare. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Starting with verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity. So what do we use? The Word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need to be using those weapons out there every day. Every day out there outside of the church. Outside of the church, we need to be using those weapons. Not against people, against the enemy that's destroying people. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against an enemy. And his name is Satan. And he's the enemy that we need to be using these weapons against. He and his army. We need to get up in the morning, put on our armor, get that sword of the Spirit going, and go against the enemy using those weapons. Why? Because God... We read it a little while ago. God will protect us if we go forth in His name. Because it's just like the nation of Israel. If you do it God's way, He won't let any fall. He won't lose one. Just like the nation of Israel walked into the promised land. And as long as they did it God's way and were obedient to do it His way, not one man fell. Not one man fell. They were protected. They stood in God's protection. And we also can stand in God's protection. Doesn't mean that the enemy doesn't shake his sword, shake his spear, curse, holler, yell, scream, jump up and down, and do all kinds of tricks. But when he's all done, we win. And not only that, but the Bible says the Lord will set ambushments against him. And we see that in the natural all through the Old Testament. Look at Gideon. 300 men with pitchers and candles. And horns. And they destroyed an army of millions. At least thousands, tens of thousands. Why? Because they did it God's way. When you do it His way, you can't lose. Amen? Father, I thank You that You have made us Your watchmen. I thank You, Lord God. I thank You that You've put Your Word in us. You have filled us with Your Holy Spirit. And Father God, that You have given us Your armament. And Lord, I just pray now in the name of Jesus for revelation knowledge in this word tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would show each and every one of us those places that you would have us go to do battle for you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would send in to each of us those that you would have us to win for you. Lord, send us to them. However you want to do it. But Father, we want to be open to hear from you. We want to be open to hear your voice. Father, tune our ears that we might hear from you clearly and be able to know your battle cry clearly